Legion on the Air, performance 540. I am Nicole Shiro, and today I am joined by guest co-host and guest engineer, Mr. Tracy Schultz.
Hey.
You're listening to KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby and KOOP.org. Each week we take a look at theater from many angles. If it is theater, it is on off stage and on the air. Stick around.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
It's Wednesday, October 30th, 2019, and today we have on the show the Georgetown Palace Theater and their production of the Buddy Holly story, and we may or may not have on later Till Performance Group and their new musical by Alan Robertson, Pandora. But of course, we're going to have lively discussions including the news and views from the world of theater in Austin, New York, Japan, and beyond. Stay with us. Okay, that made me happy. We'll talk about why I played that in a minute and
that's
what
adorable.
Was going on there. Hello, Tracy, I just want to check in with you. Hello, how are you?
Doing well. How are you doing? Everything going well?
It is. It's going. And I just want to say thank you so much to joining this party with us this week.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm really happy to be here. It's exciting.
We love you at Offstage and On the Air, both Lisa and I. It's a Chef's and Shiro love. It's not just one or the other.
And it's Halloween Eve.
It is the Halloween Eve, and we're gonna. That's part of why I played that song. But I quickly want to give a thanks to Kim for another great International Folk Bazaar, Mr. Kim Simpson. Thank you so much. Always rocking it here.
So good.
And I'm going to say hello to two of our guests. I think we have our other two joining. We may not, but I still will talk about that show later. But in the studio right now, I'm going to introduce these folks so they do not sound like disembodied voices in our discussion here. But I have Ben Blasey.
Ben Blaze.
Is it Blaze?
Blaze, yes.
It's funny. I should have asked you that too. And my folks I grew up with spelled the same way and go by Blasey. And I was all like, I should double check. And then I didn't.
That's
so
okay.
Ben Blaze, he's on fire.
Yes.
Fuego today here. And joining Ben, we have Rachel Britton, right?
Hi. Yes, that's right.
Okay, I was like, did I say it wrong?
I know, we got to throw you off with the mispronounced the one, but... Mine's easy, like Great Britain.
Shazam! It's blazing Britain in here. That's what's happening. So you guys recognize that first song?
Yeah, Wicked, for sure.
Yeah, so kind of Halloween, so yeah. I thought I would play that too. We will get to it a little in today in theater history. They opened today, but also last week they hit a milestone. They are now the fifth longest running Broadway show in history. They knocked Les Miserables to number six. And they're just creeping right up there on meow. They're going to get to Cats soon. Not Cats Down. But in that, awesome. And it was Halloween. So some of my music today kind of has a Halloween or a spooky-like feel to it. And I didn't want to just play any Wicked song because... we've heard them all, I feel like, so many times, and they're awesome. But I was like, how can I switch it up? And I'm obsessed with Japan. Mm-hmm. And the Olympics are happening in Tokyo next year. So I said, why not play a Japanese cast album version?
I feel like the first line, we were both like, oh, yeah. And then the second line, we were like, wait.
Hold on
a second.
Is that Kristen Chenoweth?
Yeah. So that's the original Japanese cast of Wicked.
Nice.
And ironically, that is my ringtone when I call my mother. She has that actual version on her ringtone. And it always, I'm Japanese, trapped in an Italian, Irish, Mexican, Spanish body. In case you didn't know that about me.
Hi. I was trying to place you.
Watashiwa Nikodas. Hey. So we played the Japanese. It's so universal. There are so many. There's a German cast album. It's in so many languages. It's amazing. And actually on Kristen Chenoweth's live album that she recorded, Coming Home, she does a version of Popular where she sings in English and then switches to Japanese.
Wow.
And then goes back to English and then switches to German.
Like, not talented enough. Here are two more languages in which I'm also talented.
Yeah. So I almost played that one, but I was like, yeah, we'll save that for another. I was like, we're going to go full on Tokyo. So that was a little bit of Wicked, but yes, isn't that crazy? Fifth longest running Broadway musical now, by playing 6,681 performances as of the 28th. So we've now had another day, and we'll probably have a matinee today. So they're going to be up another three. So they're meow, catching up to Cats. but they knocked Les Miserables down. And it's so funny because the milestone took place two nights. As I said, today is the actual anniversary of its 16th year in run. So it's like, so cool.
They had to plan that though, right?
Maybe they planned their opening around Halloween. They were smart marketing people. So, I mean, plus the time, you know, if you're going to open in the fall, well, why don't we open it around this time? But so cool. It's still such a great, it's like The Lion King. It's one of those timeless musicals you can see, and it's always different every time, just as good. And The Lion King is in the top four. Surprise! So, of longest running musicals.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, number one is Phantom. Number two, I'm having a total, like, OMG, can't remember. Number three is Lion King. Number four is Meow, Cats. And now number five is Wicked. Les Miserables is now number six. Chicago. Chicago is number two. Wait a minute. It's a Candor and Ebb. It's Chicago's number two. So number one, this is off of memory, folks. I'm not even Googling. Hashtag beautiful.
She's not even reading on the list either. She's looking dead in my eyes, reciting this list. So
Phantom and then Chicago, then Lion King, then Meow, and then Wicked. So that's some really good...
You have a wicked memory.
I have a crazy mind is what I have. So there was some openings, and I honestly only brought in one opening to talk about today. I'm sorry if I'm being biased, but I have been like watching this show and the reviews were interesting, but I still just want to go see the show. It's off Broadway. It now just yesterday was extended again for its second time. And the play is called To Play. Mm-hmm. And it's called Seared, and it's by Teresa Rabeck. And it is starring one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, four-time Tony nominee, Mr. Raul Esparza, who I love. Most recently, for folks who were like, what? He was in the revival of Assassins. He has been in Evita. Television folks may know him. He recently left Law & Order SVU last year. He was the DA for like 10 years on that show.
Wow.
He is, I mean, I could sit here and go on and on and on about him because I love him. But Krista Rodriguez is also in it, who folks may know from Smash. And actually, the Smash team got together and was a lot of the production team on this. So it is full on. It's called Seared. Can you guess what it's possibly about?
Ooh, is it cooking?
It is! Hey. And here's a picture for our listeners.
Yes.
And here's our viewers. It really is an entire giant kitchen. Like it makes Waitress look like they didn't have a kitchen.
I was going to ask if they're going to have real food.
And they do. Just like with Waitress, as you went in and they have the pies and you smell the pies cooking, and they had a pie consultant. They have chef, you know, on that show, they have chef consultants on here. There is actually, and this is right here, the second act of Teresa Rybeck's new comedy Seared begins with a 6-minute scene containing not a single line of dialogue. It features Raul Esparza playing a supremely talented but emotionally volatile chef preparing a dish of seared wild salmon.
Oh, can you imagine how good that smells?
Mm. Working with real ingredients on a functioning kitchen set, the actor chops, slices, sautés, and finally sears a large piece of salmon seasoned with shallots, capers, onions, and spices, accompanied by asparagus spears. His rapid-fire movements are precise, elegant, and thoughtful as the delicious smells of what he's cooking begin to fill the small theater. It may be the sexiest scene you've seen on stage all this year.
Wow. I mean, I'm drooling right now.
Right? So. I was reading that and I mean, I personally find Mr. Esparza sexy too. So there was one picture they had of him leaning over, like zhuzhing some Ooh. Herbs in there. And I was like, this looks amazing. So it kind of, people liked it. People didn't like it. It's very interesting. I mean, it's extended twice already. He has gotten roasted for one of his dishes about scallops. They wrote in the review, it's about a rave review in New York Magazine that singled out his scallop dish. And, now people are coming in like right and left. They're besieged by customers. He doesn't know how to deal with it. He wants to make the dish irregular, but it's not his regular dish on the menu because he is a chef is like, I can't work and always get high quality scallops. I can't leave it on the menu all the time because chefs are artists. They really are artists. And so he doesn't have his proper tools. So it's this whole like battle between the folks that run the restaurant, own the restaurant, and they bring in this restaurant consultant whose character's name is Emily, which is Krista Rodriguez. And they say she's just sectary and, you know, sultry. And therein lies the, what do we do? And the play goes on.
Do they put recipes in the playbill?
I don't know. I'm going to look that up. But that's kind of would be cool and really like smart. And I'd like to know.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they say when you walk into the whole theater that it is... you can smell everything everywhere. I think it might have been in this other review. Fresh smells way from the stage. Oh, yeah, they talk about the salmon concoction again. They said the scene works. This is New York Times. Says the scene works the same way a flashy number would in a musical. Mm. I mean, that says something about silence on a stage. Mm-hmm. And how brilliant someone is. Hello, Mr. Raul Esparza.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, we watch people cook on TV all the time. Why not?
But they don't ever do 6 minutes of quiet. And you always have someone in the back talking. And we get quick edited versions. I mean, this is just pure on happening and magic.
There's also something really personal about that. Like, because you don't just cook in front of like anyone, most of us anyways. So there's a really, I'm sure, great feeling of like really bringing the audience into the world that way too.
And the theater's really small and intimate. So imagine like when you're all together in that small little space. It's at the Robert W. Wilson MCC Theater Space. I should say there was one other step. It says, this made me laugh. If nothing else, Sear demonstrates that in an unlikely event his acting career ever fizzles out, Esparza has a promising call on the culinary arts to fall back on.
You can just come feed us salmon. We'll pay you.
That show sounds delicious and entertaining.
It does. And so the director is Moritz von Stupelnagel, who just recently directed Hand of God and the recent revival of Present Laughter. One of my favorites, love that Noel Coward. They said that the frenetic verbal and physical paces are just unbelievable. You know, you read all this right, this exciting, but then the New York Times ends with this sentence. But as Rebeck shifts into a higher gear for a farcical Fawlty Towers-esque episode and predictable dramatic confrontation, the characters still feel as undernourished as the play is overcooked. Mm. So I'm like, I don't. But you just went on. Yeah, so I don't know. It's extended twice. It's now running through December 1st. It was supposed to close mid-November. I have a feeling if they have availability in this space, they could extend it again. It's still in its beginning processes. It's only played last summer, and I think it was at Williamstown. It was at Williamstown Theater Festival, and now it's this New York premiere at MCC Theater. It says even non-foodies will find it hilarious. So, and they're in Brooklyn in Park Slope, where the play takes place. I'm not saying like the theater. I'm saying the people. Oh. I'm putting air quotes that the listeners cannot see me doing that. So, all right. Well, there's still a lot I want to get through, but I'm going to play a little clip for us all now. So they just released a new track from Dear Evan Hansen. It's For Forever. It's a song we all know. But they did. They made a really cool... They not only recorded the track, they made a really cool video, and we'll post it up on our line too. But they used all four current Evan Hansens.
I saw that.
So it's Evan Hansen and the Toronto cast. It's Evan Hansen and the London cast, which just opened and already just extended. Shocker. it's Evan Hansen in on Broadway, and it's also the Evan Hansen currently touring, and will be in Austin in December. I'm like, it's in Houston. Yes, Houston. It's in Houston in November, and then it's here in December. So we Texans get to see one of these Evan Hansens. And they really did a beautiful way of intertwining them solely and then together. We're just going to play a little clip of all of them together so you can kind of hear the beauty in this. And we'll put the video online, but let's hear a little bit of For Forever with the four Evan Hansens.
All we see is a light for forever, 'cause the sun shines bright for forever. Like we'll be alright for forever this way. Two friends on a perfect day. And there he goes, racing toward the tallest tree. From far across the yellow field, I hear him calling, follow me. There we go, wondering how the world might look from up so high.
One foot after the other, one branch then to another. I'm on the ground.
We were all in here going, oh, oh.
We're having a moment.
Oh, we're having a moment.
That's pretty magical right there.
Right? It's just their voices, the orchestration, the arrangement that they put together for this, and just the video. They look like they're close friends, and the way it's walking out, it's so simplistically done, and yeah, it gave me goosebumps. Had to share that one. So if you can't get to New York, you're looking to see, can't get to Toronto, can't get to London, can't get to the tours, you're wanting to figure it out, we're going to put this little video online if you're interested. And it is here in Austin in December, I think the 13th, I can't remember. Austin.Broadway.com has the answers. And if you're in Houston, then Houston.Broadway.com. I think Dallas is there too. So Dallas.Broadway.com. I don't know about the San Antonio schedule. That one I don't know offhand. But SanAntonio.Broadway.com. So it's round. It's happening.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. Many, many ways, many chances. I mean, you could be in London this weekend for football. It is the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Houston Texans. So you could catch a little show on the West End at the same time. They're laughing at me because I'm in full Texans gear today. see?
If we were doing that, my husband would go to the football game, and I'd be like, gonna go.
I tried. The tickets were so expensive for a plane ticket, and I was like, yeah, Mom, I just can't afford that. But I looked into it. I wanted to be there and go to the West End for some football. But, you know, we are actually going to play a little bit of another little video. I was laughing so hard, and this is a – I'm just going to play a little bit of it. We'll play the video on air. It's from Iman Elliott, who we got, a lot of people will know from Game of Thrones, but he's currently in a revival of The Rose Tattoo, and he's Scottish. So they were messing with him with Southern terms and slang and just testing his knowledge.
Here, let's listen.
Hello, my name is Iman Elliott. I am in The Rose Tattoo, which is playing at the American Airlines Theatre at the moment. And I'm here at Playbill to play Hey Y'all. So I guess the object of the game is that I have a mug full of lots of different pieces of southern slang, and I'm going to pick one out, one at a time, and try and guess what it means. Okay, here we go. What have we here? Okay, number one. I swan to the goodness. I swan to the goodness. I swan to the goodness means... it means I worship great things. Doesn't mean that, does it? Close. Cattywampus. Cattywampus is a type of food. Like a stew. It's a stew. What does it mean? These are great. Okay. Y'all. All right, y'all. I know y'all. It's like, hey, y'all. Everyone. Hello, everyone. Yeah? Melts my butter. Melts my butter. Turns me on. Yeah? Great. I'm on a roll.
It goes on for a bit, and it was just cracking me up. And the little video of him trying to catch them and laughing at himself is so endearing. Plus, it's fun to hear him say, cut. Cattywampus. Like, it was making me cracking up. So, The Rose Tattoo, what an interesting show. So I can't wait to see more on that. But I love that Playbill had him do that. That made me laugh really hard.
Yeah, it's like, and that's also not and nice that they know the some of the Southernisms that we have.
Yeah, it wasn't just to one particular area. They kind of covered a few states in the South, I think. So I was like, oh, that's kind of fun stuff. All right, we're going to keep moving because I don't want to run out of time today. They announced one of my favorite nights every year is annual Kids Night on Broadway. They allow kids 18 and under to go to Broadway shows and free of charge. It's this thing that they do all the time to make theater more accessible. And I don't even know what shows. I don't know what's going on yet. But they announced that it's normally in – you have to have an adult ticket and then they'll let the kids come with you. It normally happens in the winter, and this is happening. They now announced the date will be February 25th, and they will announce all these shows later. So kidsnightonbroadway.com has more information on what shows are available. Obviously, the adult shows probably are not going to be on there, so your children should not be there, but what do I know? So another little cool thing is I figured I'm going to cover two things in our state. So Dallas Summer Musical is having their big Evening with the Best of Broadway concert. They do their series normally in November. So this will be November 1st, this weekend. And they already had Chita Rivera on the bill. Not too shabby. They already had Kelly O'Hara on the bill. I don't know, maybe they could work harder and get better names. One Amber Riley. So you're like, well, what are you going to add to the mix? They added a gent. They added one Adam Pascal. I was like, that is a very interesting combination of people. Cheetah, Kelly, Amber, and Adam. Not four I'd normally put together, but I can only imagine how cool that would be to see all of them on stage together, intertwining.
How is this going to play
out? Right? It's just, to me, I find really, really fascinating. So that's all happening November 1st. I look forward to reading about it later. I won't be able to get there. But they also have, I was looking, you know, the Broadway always does the different Broadway cruises, and they have two of them going on. The Broadway on the Great Northwest has Kate Baldwin, Ted Firth, Aaron Lazar, and Faith Prince. And I'm like, oh, that's a good one. But the Broadway on the Mediterranean group, OMG, who got all these people on the same boat? Because it's Audra McDonald, Will Swenson, Gavin Creel, Cassie Levy, and Lindsay Mendez. I'm like, who finagled that group of people on a boat?
And what are they charging for
this? I didn't even look.
That was exciting information.
But if you want to know about any of the Broadway tours, it's playbilltravel.com has all the different crews because there's multiple. And they help do these with the different cruise lines. I want to say I looked up the cruise line. I think the Broadway and the Mediterranean was Norwegian. Because I was trying to figure out how big the ships are.
Right.
Different cruise lines do different. But I didn't get any further because I can't afford it. I'm not going. But I laughed really hard and I was like, woo, good booker. Hats off to the booker on that one. Broadway HD, our favorite little Broadway streaming service, added a whole bunch of new shows. And I'm so bummed Lisa's not here to talk about it because we were so excited about this show. They're adding on November 7th, added this month, is the all-female version of Julius Caesar that just played. Yes! Yes, the Don Mayer Warehouse production. Yeah, they're adding that on there. Also, November 14th, they're adding Nonsense, the anthology series. November 21st, they're doing Putting It Together, the Carol Burnett, George Hearn lead of ensemble performers celebrating the works of Sondheim. I'm like, hello. Oh. Okay. BBC's adaptation of Christmas Carol will get on there on the 26th, along with the Royal Ballet's Nutcracker and Absurd Singular Person and the Meshuggah Nutcracker for Hanukkah. And they're also, you know, you can get Falsettos, Holiday Inn, Ann Richards. I mean, there's so many. It covers West End, London, locally. But these were some great additions. All female Julius Caesar. OMG. So freaking cool. Allie All New. We moved from Dallas. We're going to do a little Houston. Allie All New is the festival. Allie All New Festival happens in January. It's happening the 16th through the 26th this 2020 next year. They just announced all the playwrights and new shows, and we had a lot of Austin connections in there. C. Denby Swanson has a new play that she is doing entitled Nutshell. We also, I know, I was like, this is awesome sauce. Katie Bender's got a new show, Survivors, an Alamo play. Teresa Rybeck is doing a show also, Enlightened. The Aves by Jihai Park, high school play, A Nostalgia Fest by Viet Chum, another Texan. So awesome. But I just really love that Austin was really connected in this new playwriting series. For more information on that, you can go to alleytheater.org/all new, or it's on the front of the website page. Found this weird. They're doing a musical on the Scarlet Letter.
A musical?
Yes, a musical.
Okay.
It's going to be called Shame. I can't figure this one out. It's going to be sung adaptation. Yeah, Hester Prynne. Yeah, the whole nine yards.
So lots of great poppy numbers then.
I guess so.
Real bop.
Well, they got Kathleen Marshall now to sign on and direct it.
Wow.
I can see that being a weird take of Heather's, maybe.
Well,
sure. I don't know. We're going to have to wait more, but yeah, that's what's going on. They just added Kathleen, so we'll have to follow that and see what else happens. Sadly, we had a closing this Sunday, beautiful, the Carol King musical, and it played to standing room only crowds the entire last week.
I would stand for Carol King.
Yeah, right?
For sure.
Played 60 previews, 2,418 regular performances. It surpassed the original production of Annie and the 1998 revival of Cabaret to become the 27th longest running musical in Broadway history.
Wow.
Hats off to you, Carol King. Not surprised. You've written some good tunes.
Oh, yeah. Tapestry.
That is, yeah, I mean, it's just, sure. I know, it's good. I want to get through these last two real quick. Off-Broadway, okay, this I'm actually really excited about, and there's a new off-Broadway, all-female-focused punk rock version of Tolstoy's Anna Karenina.
What?
Yes! Doesn't that sound epically amazing?
You were leading up, and I was like, what?
And then I'm like, of Tolstoy's.
Yeah. You said the least possible Coretta. Thing I would have thought of.
You didn't think of Tolstoy? Like, why not? I just now want to sing The Great Comet. In 19th century Russia, we write letters. So they're actually going to, they're going to do it all. It's going to be by Notch Artistic Director Athlee Teague. It'll run November 22nd through December 30th at the Flea. So cool. It's a comedic reimagining. Russian plays melodicas to original folk punk score as a consequence of female rebellion, and its echoes are examined in a new light. So interested in this. I have to learn more. And I love the Hoff. Do you know who the Hoff is? Do you know what I'm talking about when I say the Hoff? He's a night rocker. He's also the dude from Knight Rider. Oh, no, Knight he Rider. Has a hit called I'm a Night Rocker. I will have to share that. Yes, David Hasselhoff. He is like number one recording artist in Germany. He is like crazy in Europe. We're talking about the one and only David Hasselhoff. You may know him from Baywatch. You may know him from Knight Rider. He does have a song out called "Not Knight Rocker." Tracy,
I had no
don't
idea.
Make fun of me.
No.
He's been on Broadway. He was in Jekyll and Hyde on Broadway as one of the Jekyll and Hydes. He is now going into 9 to 5. Which is currently playing in the West End. It opened earlier this year. And he's joining the cast. It makes me so happy. December 2nd, it's playing at the Savoy Theater. The picture of him as the boss is kind of everything.
Well, as the boss sounds about right. As Dolly Parton, it may have been a bit of a miscast.
Well, here's what Parton made a comment. "I am so pleased that David is joining our show. He will be a terrific addition to an already amazing cast. The audiences are going to love him just as much as I do. Get ready to be hassled, Hoff." I'm like, Dolly. Dolly called him the Hoff, and she used hassled. I love Dolly. We're just going to listen to a little bit of 9 to 5, the musical. And we'll be back with our guests from Georgetown Palace Theater in just a moment. Hello, we're back. We were chit-chatting here about all sorts of good stuff.
We could play some more 9 to 5.
We were chit-chatting about real life artists that have left a impression, and ironically, that's what we were chatting about offline here, but that's what we're about to talk about right now, too.
That's
so
right.
I just want to introduce Ben Blaze and Rachel Britton. It's a Britton Blaze. Blaze and Britton.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello. You're here from the Georgetown Palace. And you're doing the musical, The Buddy Holly Story.
That's right.
So for folks who don't know, who's Buddy Holly?
Oh, well, how do I capture this in just a few words?
I know. He's a hard character to put into a...
So Buddy was a 19-year-old prodigy. He wrote a lot of great rock and roll tunes that really changed the face of music. And he was around for 3 years. When he was 22 years old, he had taken a plane ride that changed everything. And
we were just talking about those fatal plane rides back in the day. I know it's so tragic, the amount of talent that we lost.
Yes.
In really just freak accidents and freak circumstances.
But during the brief time that Buddy was around, oh boy, did he have an impact.
That's what I was about to say. They're hits that are still long standing.
Yes.
And that people still play. People still play originally, redo.
Yep.
So how is it playing a character that everybody knows,
yes,
but not only knows the persona, knows their music and knows their mark that they left on a legacy of American music, really?
You know, it's wild. I got this gig in 2012 playing Buddy Holly and Buddy the Buddy Holly Story when they did it the first time. And I expected it to be kind of just this one-time deal where, I would go and do the show and it'd be a lot of fun and I'd grow from that. And I've worked with the Palace now for 8 years, since 2012. So every year they've had me doing something, whether it's a Buddy Holly cabaret, Buddy Holly dinner theater, and now this is the third time of doing the story.
So did you have a favorite Buddy Holly tune before when you came in and now have found yourself kind of falling in love with something different?
Absolutely. There's a lot of songs that you're like, oh, that's Buddy Holly. Like, you recognize the melody. Of course, Peggy Sue is the standout. My dad would sing that a lot, and I'd hear it around the house. I never knew it was him, but I heard the song a lot, and it stuck in my head. And then the more and more I learned his songs, the more they grew on me. Like, Raining in My Heart's a beautiful melody. True Love Ways is a really great intimate song that he wrote for Maria Elena. And, it's hard not to love all of his music.
So, Rachel, what inspired you to, like, say, hey, we should be doing the show. I got to work on this. Like, we should do this. Like, give me some of your Buddy Holly. How you feeling?
So, like Ben said, we've been doing this show or a version of it every year since his first year as Buddy. And we actually have people calling the box office and they're like, is it going to be the same guy as last time?
Awesome.
And we're like, yes, always.
So you basically don't let Ben leave. You lock him in the office and you're like, you must stay.
We have to decide for every season what Buddy thing we're going to do and then lock Ben down ASAP, because if they call and we're like, oh, it's a different person, they're going to be like, I don't know about that. So we love having Ben. This was actually my first time seeing the Buddy Holly story. And like Ben was saying, a lot of the songs, I was like, oh, I didn't know that was Buddy Holly. And True Love Ways is actually my very favorite. And it might be, you know, the way it's staged.
Sure.
In our version is so beautiful.
Yeah, the
lights.
Lighting and
it's Annie a real Violetti special who acts opposite you is, moment. Yeah, it's just a really great moment. So it's definitely my favorite song in the show with pretty much no prior Buddy Holly knowledge. So looking forward to you guys hearing it for sure.
Yeah, but that's what's so exciting is that when you have someone like a legacy like this and you get to play a role
you get to
share it with like the next generation.
Absolutely.
And
you know, the greatest thing is ever since I've been doing this, like there's a younger and younger population of fans that are coming to this show. Like I met this 6-year-old boy who had a blazer on in the wings after the show. And his dad said, Buddy Holly is his hero.
Okay.
And
my mouth is
like
on the ground going, oh, the listeners can't see that.
So much.
That's so awesome. So you do have a little, you're going to give us a little buddy today. You do have song to sing for
that's
us,
right?
And I believe it might be Miss Rachel's song she's loving so
much.
Yes.
She did.
I actually requested
it
when we set up this.
So you
time.
Got to choose yes. this song today. I love it.
You know, this show, it really has everything. It's got Divided Nation. It's got, you know, songs that were not supposed to be. There was the devil's music.
Yes.
It's got this great love story between Buddy Holly and Maria Elena and how he falls in love so quickly with her and proposes after 5 hours of knowing her. You know, it's just there's so much to the show, especially the last scene, which is the final concert at Clear Lake in Iowa. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful production.
It's a gorgeous scene, and it's also just like super fun. So even people who are less into musicals and more into going to concerts and things like that, they can really appreciate these types of scenes that we have, because we also have an Apollo set as well, which
yes.
is very much just
wow.
rocking out.
That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to need your headphones.
Yes,
you can hear the music.
My headphones. Can I tell you a little bit about this?
Yeah, I was about
scene?
To say, can you tell us, you want to set this up with the song and the
yes.
scene and all that
so,
stuff?
Maria Elena Santiago, they get married, they're in their apartment, and a buddy's about to go on tour. He's only going to go for a couple of weeks, but she keeps having these nightmares of like, you know, I'm scared something's going to happen. I keep thinking that something bad is going to occur. And he's reassuring her like, hey, you know, like, you know, don't worry about me. I'm traveling on a bus. Like, it's going to be fine. And she is, you know, there's this moment where I reassure her like, you know, it's only a couple of weeks. Just, you know, I want to play you a song now because I wrote this for you and it means something to me to sing to you. So.
All right. Well, we are going to hear Ben Blaze sing a little from the Buddy Holly story.
Just you know why. Why you and I will buy and buy no true love ways. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why. Just you and I know true love ways. Throughout the days, our true love ways will bring us joys to share with those who really care. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why. just you and I. No true love waits.
Wow, very nice.
I'm glad you picked that too, because when I had to pick my music later, I was trying to pick the ones that I like that not everybody normally would go, that's Buddy Holly. Why'd you give me that? So yes. That was awesome, Sauce.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm sad we're like all out of time now, but
thank you so very much for having us.
No, I'm so glad you brought a song in and were able to sing today. That was really, really great stuff.
Thank you.
I just want to thank Ben Blaze and Rachel Britton, both here with Georgetown Palaces, the production of The Buddy Holly Story, playing now through November 10th at Georgetown Palace Theater on the Springer Stage. For more information, you may visit GeorgetownPalace.com. And we'll be back in a second. And we're back. We're just going to quickly go through some local stuff so then we can talk to our next guest here from Tilt. Basically, it's Halloween. Spooky time. So there's a lot of Halloween stuff. Like if you were looking for theater, Halloween, performance, events, there is a lot of Halloween. So Dracula is playing at Zach now through November 3rd this weekend. But they also have the Big Vamps and Vixens Vampire Party tomorrow evening. Rosita and Conchita is playing at Scottish Rite Theater. And that's another good one for the Peanuts. That also closes this weekend. That's ScottishRiteTheater.org. Dracula at Zach is ZachTheater.org. There's Austin Seance at the Vortex. That is also happening, and that is through the 31st. For more information, you can go to, I think it's Austin Seance, but now playing Austin, and the Vortex has the information on there. The Spooktacular Drag Variety Show in Boobash by the City Theater, which is playing at the Ground Floor Theater. That is also happening, citytheaterofaustin.org. And there's about 7 or 8 other really cool Halloween-esque murder jazz theater kind of experiences. If you want to get down with Halloween and theater, you can visit nowplayingaustin.com and get all those listings together. And today in theater history.
Today in theater history.
Stuff happened. We talked about Wicked opening. Woohoo, Wicked. But we also had Love Me Some Tom Stoppard, 1975. Travesties Open had 156 performances. That was with one John Wood and Tim Curry. I mean, you think Halloween, you think of Tim Curry. So, you know, I put that one in there. Love Tom Stoppard. Ooh, I wish I saw that. It's Philip Seymour Hoffman in 2001 directed the New York premiere of The Glory of Living, starring Anna Paquin. Rocky Horror Show resurrected in Halloween in 2001. It had suspended performances because of Hurricane Sandy, and it was able to get back down. That's that revival that I talk about all the time that was just absolutely epic with everyone under the sun. Joan Jett played Columbia, and she didn't tap. She wailed on a guitar. Dick Cavett was the narrator. I mean, it was just mind-blowing. It's Emily Skinner, Tom Hewitt. I could go on and on. Wicked opened in 2003. Robert Goulet passed away in 2007. Ewan McGregor and Mally Gyllenhaal made their Broadway debut in Tom Stoppard, because we love him, The Real Thing, in 2014. And birthdays include the Fonz, Henry Winkler, 1945, Matthew Morrison, Steve Kazee, Dick Gauthier, and Jane White. We will be back in just a second when we get to talk to the folks from Tilt. And in honor of Halloween, my cousin dressed up as Patrick Bateman from American Psycho, and his costume is epic. So I'm going to play a little Duncan Sheik, American Psycho, the musical.
This can't go on forever.
Howdy, y'all. This is Del Watson.
I gotta go.
I'm in the bathroom. Somebody needs to use it. Howdy, y'all. This is Del Watson, singer, songwriter, and thespian. And you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM.
Okay, we haven't heard that one in a long time. We recorded that at Ray Benson's studio one night. So funny. Actually, kind of timely, because he's in a new film with Eva Nobileza, the lead of Hadestown, called The Yellow Rose, which just made its premiere Friday night at the Austin Film Festival. So
yes,
that was kind of funny. And timely, Buddy Holly, like the whole night. That was funny. Mr. Watson, you make me laugh. But now I'm so excited because we have Gail Dalrymple and Daya Garcia here from the new musical Pandora, written by the great Alan Robertson, with Tilt Performance Group. Welcome, ladies. Thank you for coming today.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
So I'm going to first off say that promo video that you all made is epically awesome.
So thank you so much. But all credit to that goes to our incredible photographer, Dave Hawks.
Was it Dave Hawks?
Yes.
Because I'm like, who did that? And so... Yeah. Shout out to Dave. He does wonderful photography. Dave is great. Yeah, yeah, his photography is really incredible too. And I was wondering, because I'm like, it's kind of got a Dave, like his, you know, I could tell by the look, but wow, what a great little video. And it intrigued me. So can you tell me a little bit about this? Because I know working in a coffee shop, I know Zed comes rolls all in, and we've got a little bit of crazy in a box. So would you give us a little bit about what is this show Pandora about?
You bet. Pandora, first of all, like you said, we're absolutely thrilled to be doing the original production of a musical crafted, created, composed by Alan Robertson, who has worked with us all the way through. And
he's just a special guy. Yeah.
And what happened is he's good friends with our artistic director, Adam Roberts, and Adam approached him and said, would you consider writing a show for Tilt Performance Group? And Alan was absolutely thrilled immediately. And what he wanted to do before he even started working on it or thought about a theme was, I have to meet the actors. So we sat in a room with him and about 25 of our actors for about 2 or 3 hours. And he got their feelings about everything and talked to them. And on the basis of that, he wrote this incredible musical called Pandora, Life Outside of the Box. And what it's about is it's a continuation of the story, the mythical story of Pandora that we all know. In fact, our show starts with the Greek story of Pandora.
I love, so yeah. It's a continuation. Because I was wondering, I'm like, is it a new version? I love that idea.
It's modern day. And in fact, our Dora is the great, 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 how many? Granddaughter of the original Pandora.
Oh, that's it.
And she receives so cool. a gift from her great-great, and it gives her a way that she can take the evils out of the world that the grandmother released and put them back in the box. That is something that this show is about, and it's done through games, like virtual TV show games.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it's very modern. The music is very fast-paced. Much of the story is told through the music. Very, how would you describe the music? Di is much more of a musician than I am.
I was just about to ask you, Di, well, and not just describe the music, and then tell us a little bit about like how you play into this whole little mix of Pandora.
Well, like Miss Gill said, the music is uppity, upbeat. It makes you wow and ooh and ah when you're listening to it. Also, it brings also good lighting. I just love the colors of the lights myself.
I should give a little shout out that one Miss Lisa Sheps, who is not here today, was the lighting designer on this little bat boy.
And there was a Broadway
World Review gave a shout out.
Oh, and I got it right here.
You gave a shout out to her and her lighting.
And what, you know, it was just Addison McKisson wrote it. And it says that what Lisa did in this show was really impeccable and absolutely wonderful. In fact, she says the lighting designed by Lisa Sheps was absolutely stunning. Every cue was sharp and emphasized the story and heightened each scene. And good for Lisa.
Yep.
And we're so thrilled to be doing the show in Ground Floor Theater, which is our favorite theater anyway, because it's got a ground floor. We have many actors who are in wheelchairs, many actors with blindness. So its accessibility to our community is fabulous. We love working with Lisa and Patty. Lisa's doing the lighting. Patty is our stage manager. It's old home week for us.
Yeah,
we're happy to be there.
They're good roles. So Di, what are you doing in this show?
Well, like Gail said, since all of us are disabled, we sure do not want to have a comedy mixture with Pandora falling on the floor myself because I'm a blind person. But my character that I play in there, actually there are two, and one of them is a very upset customer that has some attitude. And the second one, it's I play a character of a wife.
Nice. Yes. It's kind of fun. Do you have fun serving attitude?
Yes, I like to be seen, especially on spotlight.
Diana kind of specializes in attitude.
Yeah, I was about to say, I believe you might be able to dish it out well, and I kind of love it. So is this? Would you say this show is for all ages?
Yes, ma'am. This show is for all ages, and also English and Spanish. You can figure out the rest. I'm doing a funny right there. But it's a good show that all ages can enjoy and very musical for those of us that love music with passion. And
so since you love music with passion so much, I want to ask you, what was it like working with someone composing music right there with you? For you, listening to your thoughts. You know, a lot of actors don't get that opportunity to go, yeah, I don't like that. Or, hey, can we try it this way? So what, and Alan Robertson, nonetheless, Mr. Emmy Award winning Alan Robertson, how was that experience for you?
For me, the experience was, how can I describe it? Awesome, because I don't know how else to describe it, because to work with a person like that and for them to make some time for us, it's great because we're telling them our everyday, what we go through, what are our feelings and certain things, and for him to get ideas from the way we see things and not see, like myself. So that's a huge privilege we get to experience that.
No, that's a really good point. It's a rare opportunity, and it's also to be a collaborator. With this.
Yeah. Let me add to that. It's also slightly intimidating because when he came to the show on Saturday night and sat front and center with his wife, we're like going, "Okay, what's he gonna think? Is he gonna like it?" So it was really, really, really special to us when we saw that he had some little wetness around his eyes.
I was just like, he's so proud of every project I've known him, no matter what theater he's working with, no matter what project he's working on, no matter what age range, no matter who the person is, he thinks of everyone like his child and his baby, and he's always just so proud. He really is just a special,
guy.
Like
a good guy.
A lot of people in the world made like him, and we are so blessed in Austin to have him.
We are, absolutely.
So we're just about plumb out of time. I'm sorry we don't have more time, but I am so excited you were both able to come on today and talk about the show. I'm going to let folks know here where to get more information. But Gail, Daya, thank you for coming. And
I look forward
to getting on the show. And I love the way awesome is the word I would use myself, Daya.
Thank you.
Sometimes awesome really does just sum up everything. There is no other word needed. It kind of just works. So thank you both. It was Gail Dalrymple and Daya Garcia with Pandora, a new musical by Alan Robertson with Tilt Performance Group. It's currently playing now through, oh my gosh, I cut off the date. It's playing through November 10th or 3rd?
3rd.
I was like, the date cut off on the printer, and I knew it was one or the
other.
Don't
worry, you didn't see it.
I didn't see it. You guys, you're totally right, Daya. It's playing at the Ground Floor Theater through November 3rd, which is this Sunday. For more information, you may visit tiltperformance.org. And we're going to play a little Pandora's Box from the Donna Summer musical. When you opened up your life. That was a really fun show today.
That was exciting. I gotta go see that one. I gotta go see all of our shows today. Yeah.
I know. The shows today were like all good shows, all good people. And the folks at Tilt had to run back out and get to the theater. But the folks from Georgetown and Buddy Holly are sticking around with us. And so stick around, folks. If you're on the terrestrial radio, Austin Monitor News is next. If you are listening to the podcast, you're going to get backstage at Offstage. And you should be listening to the podcast. And how do you get the podcast? You go to offstageonair.com, enter your email right in the little box. Bam! Nicole and Lisa arrive each week in your mailbox. or you can get us on Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher, all the places you find podcasts. We are there. Stand by for Austin Monitor News. We'll be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And we're going to go out with a little Rocky Horror, but it's not Rocky Horror. It's a children's lullaby version of Damn It, Janet. We are backstage at Offstage, and I was lucky enough to get Ben and Rachel to come out to the dumpsters with me next to the puddles of unnamed liquid. We just watched a wonderful performance of Legends Who Have Died But Live On in Our Head.
In
our hearts, yes, because we were talking, we couldn't talk about it on air because we didn't have enough time, but off air, before we were doing our interview with the two of you with the Buddy Holly story, we were discussing Megan Hilty and Jesse Mueller. Jesse came up in conversation because of Beautiful, and they just worked on a new project called Loretta and Patsy, which is the story of Loretta Lynn and Patsy Cline. It's a Lifetime movie. It just premiered 2 weeks ago. It's still on demand, and they're still replaying it. I was kind of like, you know, sometimes you're up for a good Lifetime movie. Do you know what I mean? You have to be in that mood. But then sometimes you're like, really? You're giving me like Loretta Lynn and Patsy Cline? But I was like, hey, it's Jesse Mueller and Megan Hilty. Oh my God, it's so good.
It was
so good. And they let them sing like so much. And it wasn't shortened versions of the song because they had Loretta Lynn. I mean, they had a... Jesse Mueller and Megan Hilty, they were like, just sing it on up. And they let him do full, long songs. It was beautiful. I mean, it's a great love. Patsy was a, and that's where it came up, the tragedy in the play. And we were talking about all this tragedy, and then Buddy came in. So it's kind of perfect, and I'm going to talk about it here for a second. But it was really, really, really good. And you two were looking at me going, they were friends? And I was like, yeah, it's a really weird story how they became friends. And Patsy was in the hospital after her car wreck and heard Loretta on the radio singing one of her songs saying, I hope Patsy gets better soon. And, you know, she was living in Seattle, even though she was raised in the South. Loretta and her husband were transferred out into Seattle, Washington. So she was back then over in the South kind of doing some tour and stuff. Never something she wanted to do. Her husband thought she had a great voice and made her sing, but it was never like Loretta's like, oh, I should be a singer. Which is so funny because you look at Crystal Gayle, her sister, and like half of the other siblings, and they all played in the band.
How did
and
you not figure this out?
How did you? Sooner. Right? Right? But yeah, if folks are interested, I don't know. I think it's lifetimetv.com is actually, I think, Lifetime's webpage. But I'm sure if you Googled Patsy and Loretta,
it'll show up.
It's an interesting, Patsy really helped a lot of the female musicians of that time and befriended them. And as I was telling you, Ben, Loretta wrote about it a few years ago in a book, and she mentions it all the time that Patsy gave her costumes, Patsy helped pay for things, but Patsy also, she's like, that woman gave me her underwear, and I still have her underwear. That is how close these two girls are.
Close friendship.
Yeah, but you know what? You don't really get a lot of good stories about close girl, like, friendships between girlfriends and the power of a... Same with men. Like, you, the best friends and the power between just best friends, I guess,
well,
in general.
Especially, like, celebrities.
Yeah.
Because they're seen so much as in competition with each other, so...
Exactly.
We don't know, you know, what goes on.
Is it Katie or... Taylor's drama, is anything like that? You know,
well, that's PR, and that's Meshuggahness on the side. So, but, you know, they weren't doing the front. Well, I shouldn't say that. There were Hollywood total contracts for marriages, but that's another story.
I love me some Patsy Cline. I really do. And I've learned so much of her music because of the Palace Theater, actually.
Yeah.
So here's my question to you. How did you, were you always, so you play instruments.
I'm a musician.
Okay, I know that. So, but I don't know more than I know you play a guitar because we kind of just ironically talked about it. But where do you play? So, how did you start theater? Did you start as a musician? Who are you? Where are you from? This is backstage and offstage. So, Ben, this is your time. Give us your story.
Here's my story. I'm 33 years old. I'm from
from New York.
Where in New York?
So upstate.
Yeah, where?
Have you ever heard of Plattsburgh?
Yeah, I graduated high school outside of Syracuse.
Okay, then.
And my mom lives in Schenectady. Even though I'm a city girl, we ended up there like
Hi there.
SUNY Plattsburgh is a big school. You are up in cold land.
It's very cold. It's very cold.
Not that Syracuse isn't cold or Albany, but it's a different,
I grew up about 45 minutes, maybe an hour to Montreal and Quebec.
Yes. You're up in Thousand Islands and
far north
Bolt
as you can go.
Castles and at Bolt Castle, right? Isn't that the big castle that's on that one island there?
It could be. I'm just wrapped up in the Adirondacks. So that's
beautiful.
Where I was born and raised.
Ben is so nice because he's basically Canadian.
People don't get it. You could use a Canadian dollar anywhere in the state of New York, even down in New York City. Right. I tell people that and they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, it's, and most anywhere, it's, I think the furthest point, it's 3 hours to the border. Like, New York is on the border. People just don't realize that. They also call, you also say New York and they also think the city. I'm like, that's a 12-mile island and the state takes about 8 hours to drive through from point to point. So
that's where I grew up and, I've been writing music forever. I've been playing guitar for about 20 years now, and I've got 3 albums. I'm finishing my 3rd one now.
Oh, and where, if folks were interested in finding out more about you, your music, and your albums, where would one go?
One would go definitely. My Reverb Nation page has a ton of links towards different things. If you find me on Facebook, Ben Blaze Music, I always upload my latest singles. The last song to come out is called Us. I think it's got a great deal of potential. It's going to be the single. But for sure, see my new album, 10 Years.
It's coming out at the beginning of 2020, and I'm so thrilled about it. And, you know, this is my love and passion, and acting came as a second note. So I did a little acting in New York. I came down here, and I was cast in the role of Buddy Holly at the Palace Theater, and that has been quite the opportunity.
We're going to show how the sausage is being made. That's, we don't normally do it live on air. Yeah, the mics were being weird, and you were all in there, and then you were totally gone. And
I'm back.
You're back, and then my headsets were being wonky. So I'm like, is he there? Is he not? But I can see you back in your voice. So kind of recap a little bit on that.
Sure,
where folks can find you, your music, just
find
in case.
Find me, Ben Blaze Music on Facebook, and you can...
And that's Blaze spelled B-L-A-I-S-E.
That's right. That's right. Like Blaise Pascal, or there's even like a Harry Potter character with the name Blaise.
There is.
Yes.
Well, that's a good trivia question.
There you go. But my music, I absolutely love writing and recording, and I hope to be like Buddy Holly one day. You know, he is this huge inspiration. He's a hero to me because he's so finite on what he knows he wants to do. He's got this direction that he pushes for. And he, you know, he's a great writer, and he writes these songs with these hooks and these jingles that get stuck in your head, and you say, oh, I love that song, or, you know, that you can't get it out of your head sometimes, and that's what I hope to do.
So do you have a specific, I mean, you just said Buddy Holly is an inspiration, but was there a musician that really inspired you as a kid to be like, I have to play these instruments, or I want to learn how to do this?
Yeah, for sure. John Mayer, his writing style really spoke to me in my late teens. And then Jason Mraz was introduced to me, and he's just got so much life and energy, and he's like next level. I actually wrote music that I would love for him to play one day. But I love Jason Mraz. He's a very big influence. And if you listen to my music, it's not just pocketed into one genre. I felt like that's a lot of what I heard from producers growing up is, well, Ben, we need you to play, if you're going to play, you know, rock and roll, or if you're going to play alternative, it's got to be this like pocket genre so that we can appeal to those types of audience. But you have so many artists these days that are making music that spans. I mean, look at Post Malone. He will put out this great rap hit, and then all of a sudden he's singing a ballad on the same record. And it's not like you can't do that. Like, there's no reason why you can't introduce your listeners who loved you for this one type of genre into a whole nother, you know, box of songs.
So when you add in the theater into your music life, was it Buddy Holly that got you into the theater aspect, or how did that spark?
So I did an improv group in New York that kind of got me comfortable in the uncomfortable, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
And I've done some plays where, you know, it's traditional stuff. Annie, Get Your Gun. And I did The Sound of Music. You know, I've always been a singer. But in Georgetown, I got introduced to a jukebox musical, which...
Which one?
Well, the Buddy Holly story.
Oh, okay.
So the jukebox theme is like, you know, you've got a play that's, instead of writing songs to go with the play, it's already about these popular songs from this artist, and you get to tell their story through their original work, and that's what I love. I would love to tell my story through my original work, because that's already what it is.
That's so cool. So if I said to you, Ben, you can be in any show tomorrow... What's your dream role? I'll produce it for you. Give it to you. Get the cast you want. What is it?
It would be the Ben Blaze story. For sure.
Are you writing it?
I would love to. I mean, like...
Well, you better start writing, because someone could be listening and go, Ben Blaze.
Well, you know, I really think that, you know, Buddy wrote from experience, you know? And you learn that when you come see the Buddy Holly story. You learn about, like... Well, okay, this is what caused him to change the name from Cindy Lou to Peggy Sue. This is why he wrote True Love Ways, to calm his wife who's having nightmares of this terrible plane accident. And, you know, we go through things in life that when you can write a song that so many people can relate to, and it's this beautiful progression. Like, I've written an original that's brought somebody to tears before. And it's because I've lived it, and I know they have too, and we can connect. Like, music bridges that gap. And
it's universal. It's one of those, you don't have to speak the same language to understand. You can hear it through a chord, or hear it in an emotion, or see it in a person's face when they're playing or singing. It's so interesting.
There's this other thing that happens that I really love, and this is why my passion... Like, I'm a registered nurse, so I work as a nurse, and that's my day job.
I was just about to say, I think you told me off the radio waves, but I wanted to, like, why don't you tell our listeners what you really do, because it's so cool.
It is. So I work in the operating room. I'm a surgical nurse.
Okay, I didn't know you were a surgical nurse. That's intense. That's a lot.
It's quite interesting. We get to help people and fix their problems, you know, and I get to be this, like... you know, like somebody that, so I'll tell you a little bit of like a crossover between the two worlds for me. As a registered nurse in the operating room, I play a patient's favorite music.
I was about to say, do you bring music into it?
I do, I have to. You know, that's great. That's who I am. And it gives them something familiar that they're already in this place that's very scary. And, you know, it puts them in a place of a familiarity where there's all these bright lights and scary looking machines and things like that. And you know, I just thought, like, well, why not individualize it? You're not a MRN, you know, medical record number. You're not just some, you know, bill that we're going to send. You're a person. You're an individual, and you deserve that respect. And that's what I aim to do as a nurse, is to give people that dignity and respect.
And so how did you get to Austin from New York? Kind of skipped in between, but now, yeah. I'm like, wait, how did you?
So from New York, I got in a car, and I decided that I needed to change, because where I'm from in the Adirondacks, it's a beautiful place, but there's nothing going on. There's not like that, you know, scene to make it as a musician or an actor, as I later learned. But I spent some weeks out on the road, and I got to see all those places along the way that I might have wanted to stay, but I got to Austin and knew this is where it's going to happen.
So you really did that. I drove in a car.
I saw a YouTube video.
And found it.
On Austin, Texas. It was some random guy saying, oh, I just moved here. This is Barton Springs. This is my apartment. I love it here. This is great. And I said, oh my God, that sounds amazing. Why not? You know,
like, I always had a really nice apartment.
Right. You know, like, it was. I mean, it seemed affordable. And if you're from New York, you know, like, affordability is a big deal.
I don't know. It costs just as much to live here as it does in the city, if you ask me.
I rented a room for a while, so I got away cheap, but for a while. But, you know, it's Austin's been an amazing place for me, especially to kind of branch out and to have a great opportunity, like working with the Palace Theater and getting interwoven to the family members that they are, because it's one huge family. But
for the things you do, it really is a great city for the medical world, for the music world, and for the theater world. So, I mean, to find a city that has all those three, I mean, Houston, I guess, would be another one, but that's... you know, you'd probably be higher on this, you know what I mean? The scales would go up a little bit on one versus the other.
Sure,
but wow,
sure.
What a really cool, magical place. Well, I'm glad you're here in Austin.
I'm glad to be here.
Now, Rachel, have you always been here? Where are you from? What do you do? What's your story?
What's my story?
What's your story, Rachel? Tell us, tell us.
I moved from the distant land of South Carolina.
South Carolina?
Yeah.
Oh, did you know some of those Southernisms earlier?
I didn't know the first one. What is that?
I didn't know the first one either. I was all like, because when the first one came out, I was like, are they all going to be this ridiculous? Are we going to have a y'all in there? Or bless your heart.
When you said you were going to play it, I was looking forward to it. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to know all of them.
Yes.
The first one I didn't know either. And I don't remember what it was offhand to say what it was.
Swum to Goodness? Or
No. Sway with the... Oh no, Sway with the something. Well, we'll all have to go online and look at it.
I know.
The link to that whole video will be online so you can watch and learn later too. But yeah, I was thrown off. I just liked hearing him speak Scottish. But
yeah,
you,
sure.
Where in South Carolina?
Columbia.
Oh.
Yeah.
So how did you start theater there when you were a kid, or how did you get into theater?
I did. So actually my first love is art, like the visual arts, and I...
Do you have a medium that you prefer?
I just, you know... Pencil and paper, like
that's
really
great.
Drawing. That's kind of how I started. And when I was, I'd been in some smaller plays and stuff. And when I was 17, I decided I really wanted to audition for our high school play, which was Our Town. And it was my first time auditioning ever. And I got called back for the lead. And I was like, wait, excuse me. I think you made a mistake.
Hold on.
Oh, sorry. I'm being way too dramatic with
No. I was telling you to get closer on the mic.
With my face movements.
No, you're not being dramatic. Oh, you're... I'm not saying that.
Okay, I thought I was moving too much.
No, I was like, get closer on the mic.
But anyways.
There you go.
So I anticlimactically did not get cast in the lead for that.
What?
But the next time I auditioned, I did the next year. So it was kind of just something that I tried on a whim. And I was like, oh, I'm good at this. And I kind of thought before that everybody just has one thing. So I pursued it through college as well. My degree is in integrated marketing communications with a minor in theater. So
and where'd you go to school?
Winthrop University.
Nice. So how did you end up in Austin?
So I got married and my husband's a software developer.
Oh, there and hence the job.
So we moved out here. Yeah.
So how did you, unlike Ben, who just was like, I got in the car and it was like this personal journey. What happened when you were like, we're moving where? What? Like, how, what,
so
what was your experience?
We both, like, I have lived in a few other cities before, and I wanted to move. I was ready to move. I'd just come back from an apprenticeship in Sarasota, Florida, to sort of test out, like, how this relationship was going to go, and then we ended up getting married. So I guess that was a good
I was like,
idea.
I guess it worked out, right?
but, yeah, so we'd been talking about it before. We even got married. We were like, what's our plan coming up? And I was like, I want to go to a bigger city, but not like a crazy big city. So Austin seemed like, you know, a great place to have tons of opportunities for him. And then just for me, because I knew I wanted to do marketing at a theater specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I just need to get where there are more theaters that can afford to pay people. So luckily for me, that worked out. But yeah, we'd been planning on it. So when he got the job, we were just excited, and we were like, okay, let's go.
That's exciting. And you've been here for a couple of years now?
Yes, it was 2016, April, that we moved. So it's
wow,
been like
yeah, time has fly. Time does fly. All right, so if today I said to you, you could do any role, any musical, what do you want to star in?
Does it have to be a musical?
No, it could be a play.
Okay, good,
you could do
I
any.
I cannot sing.
Okay, you could do any show. And in our perfect world, you could also be the best singer ever. So, I mean,
oh my
you can choose a play or a musical, either one.
I'm thinking really hard about this. I never think of it this much. So, we actually did the Adam Sandler musical last year.
Yes.
And I did not audition because, like I said, I can't sing. But in my brain, I was like, but what if I were Wednesday, though? Because that would be
Wednesday.
So amazing.
I was like, Wednesday incredible. Would be a fun role.
Yes. So
you know what?
I think
we might hear Wednesday singing right now.
That's just the overview.
Oh, isn't that awesome?
That's me, actually.
Are you feeling inspiration right now?
So much inspiration.
You may feel inspiration. Maybe we'll see you soon on that stage. Well, I just want to thank you both for coming on here and joining me a little bit backstage and letting folks know a little bit about, more about you.
Thank you.
And what you do and how you got there. And I'm going to let folks keep listening to Wednesday singing her brains out right now from the Addams Family. I feel a little inspired on this spooky Halloween week.
I know.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Hear me speak. I'm crazier than you. I'm crazier than you. And now I'll prove to you exactly.